Welcome to Ain't Slayed Nobody. This is an actual play podcast intended for adults and may contain material that some people find disturbing. Please see the episode notes for content warnings and listen with care. Hello, I am Cuppy Cup and this is Cosmic Dark, Graham Walmsley's new weird space horror game. We started out by playing a single scenario with Graham as GM and Jared Logan, Rena Henze, Scott Dorward, and me as players. Down the line, we'll release a mini campaign we recorded with Graham. If you'd like to learn more about Cosmic Dark or get your hands on a copy when it releases, we recommend following grahamwalmsley.substack.com. See show notes for that link. And now, Ain't Slayed Nobody proudly presents Extraction with Graham Walmsley.
We're going to start you on a shuttle and you're descending from a shuttle. Above you, you can see the lights of the transport ship that's brought you here. Below you, you can see the surface of this phosphorescent violet asteroid. And you get a voice on your communicators which says,
"This is the Extraxa transport ship. You're descending to the surface of C-151. Medical officer, please acknowledge."
"Medical officer here."
"Mining engineer, please acknowledge."
"Mining engineer here."
"Geologist, please acknowledge."
"Geology online."
"And team leader, please acknowledge."
"Oh, fuck." team leader online.
"Thank you, associates. We have a beautiful, pristine asteroid for you to excavate. No signs of previous mining. You'll step out onto the surface shortly. Good luck. We'll be back for you in a year."
And what we're going to do now is we're going to flash back and just tell the story of how you arrived here. Cuppy, you're still laughing. Do you not want to be the team leader? I can find something else for you to do.
Wonderful. No, I'm so delighted to be the team leader.
Okay.
Not as delighted as the rest of us are.
I usually play whatever the opposite of that is.
Don't get me killed, okay?
We're fucked.
Oh, yeah.
So this is Cosmic Dark. Cosmic Dark is a game of space horror. You're going to be playing workers for Extraxa, a mining and resource conglomerate. And Extraxa have taken you from your home planet to the far reaches of the galaxy. And it's this really bleak region. The most notable thing about this region is there is a glitch in space. So this space anomaly which sort of hangs there. There's like this glowing scar in the sky. So what we're going to do is going to make characters, but we're going to do it by sort of playing through the life story of these characters as they come to the far reaches of space. I want you all to come from the same planet. Can we just sort of decide what sort of planet it is? You know, there's all kinds of different science fiction planets. So what sort of planet would you like it to be?
It's covered in cities and artificial stuff.
Urbanized planet, also almost overloaded with people. Does this sound good to people? Happy with that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, no, that's really fantastic.
I think also it's entirely company run. The system of government is basically entirely corporate.
That's really nice. Rena, Cuppy, do you want to add something about the planet?
Mm-hmm. I think it was terraformed in order to get rid of all of the natural stuff that grew there, just to make it appropriate for building all of these company towns all over the planet. And so the reason why there aren't a whole lot of rocks and trees and things like that is because it was designed that way. Whatever was there before is gone.
Yeah, and as a result of that, can we do, like, we all eat an artificial food and we don't know how it's sourced? Kind of like a Soylent Green situation.
I love it.
That's really, really nice. Oh, we need a name for this planet. So give me a name for the planet, someone, anyone.
I think Gray's World.
And so the name of the company that owns the planet is?
Well, I think Gray was probably the person who discovered it in the first place.
Okay, now that's nice.
But no one remembers her now.
That's good. So can we get a name for the company that owns the planet?
Gray's Housing and Development.
Unrelated.
Well, no, Gray was the founder of the company and who also found the planet. It's just everyone just thinks it's the company by now, that the planet's named after the company, not the person. And this company builds like these urban centers on various planets and looks for places to terraform so that they can crowd as many people in as possible to keep the lower income people away from the fancier planets where the rich people like to live and have their space. And so that's what this company does is, oh, look, you get free housing and you can work for us and it'll be great. You don't have to pay for it.
God, I hate this fucking planet.
Don't worry, you're going to be leaving. There's some bad news about where you're going.
Right. A barren rock is better than this planet.
Yeah, ask me again about that again in 2 hours and we can, you know. Let's start playing some scenes with your characters, right? Just remind me. So, Jared, you're playing the...
geologist. Let me push my imaginary spectacles up my nose.
Rena, are you medical?
Yes.
Cuppy, you are the team leader. Excellent. And Scott?
I'm the mining engineer.
Let's start you out on Gray's World. Let's have you as children. So you all grew up together. I mean, you won't all be like in every scene, but let's imagine that from your childhood, you're sort of a group that grew up together. Scott, can we start with you? Can you just choose one of the other characters who just like instinctively you trust?
Oh, what the hell? Let's make a cup. Let's fuck shit up from the outset.
That's really good. It's just an instinctive thing. So we're going to sort of build the characters very slowly. Let's imagine you two as children. Where would you play in an urban landscape?
I think possibly in a derelict water treatment plant.
I like that.
That's really nice. Okay, yeah, so you're in one of the sort of in-between areas. There's this water treatment plant that is, you know, completely defunct now. And you two are sort of playing among the pipes and tanks of this plant. And Cuppy, can we start with your character saying, my foot's stuck, can you help me? And we're just going to leave you talking a bit from there.
My foot's stuck, can you help me? Shit.
I can try. Have you tried just pulling it a bit harder? Just give it a good jerk there.
I just can't get it. We're such good friends and I can't even remember your name.
Lachlan.
Fuck, is this British? Lucky is what I call you, right? Your nickname?
Why not?
Lucky. Yeah, if you just get down there. I know you're kind of scared of the pipes when they converge like that, but just get down there and kind of wiggle
it's
my ankle.
It's not the pipes I'm scared of. It's the things that live in there. Some of them bite.
Yeah, but I mean, we can bite them too, you know?
What, with your foot?
Well, shit, just get me out of here. Come on. We're going to be late.
Yeah, all right. I'm not putting my hands down there. Look, I'll tell you what. Let me just grab hold of your knee and you push with your other leg and I'll try to pull your foot up here and...
What? That sounds dangerous.
Is it any more dangerous than leaving your foot down there where things can bite it?
All right, on three, though. We count together.
Yeah.
One, two, three.
And let's leave it there. That's really perfect. That's a...
Fuck, I have one leg. Let me write that down.
One leg, injured foot. No, that's really fantastic. So just getting your characters talking for a moment. Cuppy, I mean, let's imagine that you... So all four of you are growing up together. We'll have you sort of in a dusty urban schoolyard. So you'll have like all these sort of skyscrapers above you, and you can imagine advertising boards like shining their light down onto the playground. Oh, have we got a name for your character yet, Cuppy?
Gary Glitch.
Give me one of the other characters, I mean, either Rena's character or Jared's character, who you'd like as a bit of a rival.
Ooh, a rival.
Yeah.
Well, you know, Rena's killed me way too many times. I'm going to pick Jared for this, the geologist.
Okay.
Jared, your character's sort of standing there in the schoolyard. Just describe a bit of what they look like as they're just standing there.
His name is Regan. Regan, I'm feeling, is a quite large boy.
Yeah, that's nice.
He's like really bright blonde and kind of has like a pugnacious face. Not a handsome boy.
I picked the worst rival.
So Gary, and what does your character look like, Gary?
I'd say just as a nice contrast to that, Gary is a beanpole.
Yeah.
A bowl haircut and mousy facial features. Real lanky, but tries to compensate for that by bossing people around.
That's amazing. So let's have Gary going up to Riggan in the schoolyard. And Gary, I want you to start by saying, you know what I do better than you? And then we'll just let it run from there.
Hey, Riggan, you know what I do better than you?
I'm going to turn really slowly around. And Riggan is kind of always squinting.
It wasn't rhetorical, Riggan. You know what I do better than you?
Tell me.
Yeah, I'm good at, finding all the cool rocks around the schoolyard. Yeah, I've been building up my rock collection. I know you're into this shit. You know, I didn't even care about it, and my collection's like 10 times cooler than yours.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Maybe you could take some of those home, and your family could get some money for them. I know you guys need extra credits. What with your dad gone and everything.
No, I'm not trying to fight you. I just, I really wanted to show you this last rock I found, Riggan. And I'm going to pull a rock out of my pocket and chuck it at him.
Oh, okay. If a rock is chucked at me, I think Riggan will just kind of take it. It'll hit him. It'll hurt. And then he's going to pick a rock up himself.
Oh, no.
And go, all right, your turn.
Shit.
Hold still.
I'm not holding still.
Everybody watching? This is how we deal with tier fours. That's what the poor people are called in this society, tier fours. You're on tier four subsistence. And I'm going to take my rock, and I'm going to chuck it as hard as I can at your neck.
All right. I'm trying to hit the ground to dodge it if I can.
I think that's perfect. And can we just leave it there? So you will hit the ground. There will be laughter from all around the playground because, you know, you're just ducking. And it's just this tiny pebble he's just throwing at you.
I feel like all of these are accumulating my backstory injuries.
I'm noticing you're getting one injury each scene.
It's a progression. All right, very good.
Jared, let's do the next scene with you. I mean, what injury would you like to give Gary? No, I'm kidding. So, what I was going to ask you to do is pick another character who you just instinctively admire. And so I'd like to imagine you've all grown up in school together. You're coming to the end of school now, and you're applying for jobs, and so you're going to all these different corporate sites all over Grey's World. Today you're travelling to the Extraxa site. So Extraxa is this mining company. They take people on spaceships. You know, they like geologists. They need medical officers, so that there's jobs for you there if they want you. And let's just have you on the transport on the way there. Rena, what is your character's name? Is that Cade?
Cade, yes. They, them.
And can we just start with Riggan saying to Cade, how do you stay so calm?
How do you stay so calm?
Well, when you grow up the way I did, no parents, no family, just kind of on your own, you realize that if you fly off the handle or if you get too anxious about things, that's a good way to disappear. So you really just have to remind yourself that whatever's happening, you'll get through it. You'll get past it. It's fine. And you can always get some revenge later if you need to. But you shouldn't fly off the handle.
I don't feel good about this interview. They're going to see that my marks are low. I wasn't top in any of these categories. I mean, I've got a terrible CV. This is terrible.
You'll be fine, Riggan. Don't worry. They need a big brawny boy like you. Besides, I got you. I can talk you up a little bit. Don't worry.
Are you going to get yourself hired and me hired? You're so sure of yourself.
Yes.
I used to pick on kids like you.
I know. Just maybe don't go throwing any rocks at the interviewers. I don't think it'll help.
Should we leave it there?
Thank you, Rena, for making the rock throwing a legendary incident now.
And so you go to Extraxa and you have the interview, and Riggan, Cade, all of you actually, you do get in, and Extraxa want you, which is great. I mean, there's not many jobs on this planet, and so you get to go off planet. And I just want to set a last scene. So you'll be on the Extraxa transport ship. It's called the Exchange. It's lifting off from Grey's World, and so you can see Grey's World below you. You can see this sort of actually rather beautiful in this level urban landscape, sort of advertising boards, skyscrapers, just lights all over it. Can we just do a scene with Cade and Lachlan? And I just want you in a viewing gallery on the transport ship, looking back down at the planet. And Cade, can we start by you saying, you know what I'll miss the most?
You know what I'll miss the most, Lucky?
Nothing?
Yeah.
Me too. It's a shithole, isn't it?
It really is. Although there were lots of good places to hide, so, you know, it's easy to get away.
Yeah, but there were also lots of reasons why you'd want to hide.
Okay, fair. That's true. But, I mean, space is a big place. You might need places to hide out there, too. I don't know. But I'm sure we'll find them.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm feeling a little odd about leaving all the noise and the light and everything, you know?
Yeah.
I don't know if I'm going to actually be able to sleep without all the screaming and hover cars and blinking lights and all of that. Like, how do people sleep in the quiet?
I don't know, but maybe there's less bitey things out here. You know, no bed bugs and stuff like that. I haven't seen anything like that on the ship yet. So maybe even if you can't sleep because of the quiet, you'll be able to sleep just because you're not getting eaten while you sleep. I mean, that's good.
That's true.
And can we just end that there? And I sort of want to cut. So you're approaching this asteroid and you're having your last night's sleep before the asteroid. And a voice whispers in your ear. You're getting used to this voice because every night before you go to sleep, you get these sort of psychological assessment questions whispered in your ear. You also know that your body signs are being monitored when you answer. So you can lie, but the monitors will know what the truth was. And so you're going to sleep, and Riggan, in your ear, a voice whispers to you.
What scares you most about space?
That I will forget part of the preparation checklist, and that I will, suffocate or pop part of my suit or, I don't know, die because I forgot something. The checklist is way too long.
Is that actually what scares Riggan about space?
No, he's fronting even to the computer.
Yeah, cool. So what does scare Riggan about space?
I think it's so vast, you know, the vastness. Mm,
yeah.
It makes you feel very, very, very small, which is not good if you're someone who likes to feel big.
Yeah. Yeah, so you're someone who just takes up any space they're in. Yeah, the idea of sort of being in this massive universe is, terrifying. I get that. Gary Glitch, as you're going to sleep, this voice whispers in your ear.
What scares you most about being alone?
I don't like the quiet. I don't like my own thoughts. I don't like to be my only company.
Yeah, that's really nice. Lucky, you're going to sleep, and the voice says in your ear.
What's the most terrifying way to die?
Alone.
That's nice. And just give me, what's Lucky thinking about when he says that?
He's thinking about just spinning off into space in a spacesuit, just away from any gravity well.
Yeah. And so Cade, they get a voice in their ear as well.
If someone else was dying, would you help them before helping yourself?
Well, I suppose it would depend on if I was dying too, because then I'd have to help myself first before I could help somebody else. But if I wasn't dying, then yes, I'd help them first.
And as Cade says that, is there any doubt in their mind about that?
A little bit. But I'm ignoring it.
It's this tiny doubt in the back of Cade's mind that's going, well, I know I'm saying this, but would I? If it came down to it, would I?
I'm sure I'll never have to deal with that.
Yeah, I'd be fine. Awesome. That's really good. And you guys come to the planet and you're lowering down on the shuttle. You have your final operation instructions. All of you, the first thing is to set up the living pod, which acts both as your base. It's where you sleep. It's where you do your research. Cade, your first job is to report back to the exchange, the transport ship, as soon as you can and at regular intervals.
Do I do that from the living pod or is there another way to contact them?
Yeah, Cade, let's have you on the comms as well, because we don't have a comms officer. So, Cade, yeah, so you'll be on the comms, and you have both a short-distance radio built into your suit, and you have a sort of longer one in the living pod, which lets you have a sort of more in-depth conversation with the transport ship.
So I'll get that set up then.
Lucky, your job is to find a site for the mining. So it's all automated. You need to do some scans, you need to find a site, and then there's a sort of automated shaft that will drive down from the machinery.
All right, yeah.
Riggan, your job is to take as many scans as you can, find out about the asteroid, what resources are there, what the potential of mining it is.
He really takes his time doing that and is very careful to get everything correct.
That's brilliant. We'll come to that. You haven't done it yet. I'm just saying, what these are your instructions. And Gary, you do team leadership.
Yes.
It's the most vital job, really. It's genuinely the most vital job.
You tell me what Graham just told me.
Yeah, exactly. With bravado.
And then the shuttle lowers down to the surface and you step out onto the surface of the asteroid. There's this sort of violet rock beneath your feet, which like crackles in this slightly strange way. It has this almost like rubbery texture. And there's this translucence to it as well. So you can see a short way down, it glows. I'm just going to quickly tell you the rules for what's called the changed rules in Cosmic Dark. So if you play Cthulhu Dark, there are some insanity or insight rules, and in Cosmic Dark we're going to have changed. So each of you has a change score. It starts at 1. You can keep a die if you like and just have like 1 as the top face. Whenever you see something that challenges your mind, like, you know, disturbs you, or anything that affects your body, then you roll your change roll. Whenever you see something that's weird or that freaks you out, or whenever you have an injury or you exert yourself, make a changed roll. And what happens when you make a change roll is you roll a die, and if you get greater than your current change score, it ticks up by 1. And what really helps me is if you guys make changed rolls rather than me prompting you. So shuttle goes down. You step out onto this surface. I mean, it's like a rocky landscape, right? You can see there's a ridge, there's a plateau, there's crevasses that run through the surface of the asteroid. There's space endlessly above you. And I'll leave you guys to set up your living pod, do your samples, call back to the ship.
All right, everyone, you have your marching orders? You ready to... You got those comms, Cade?
Well, we have to get the living pod set up first, but yes.
Oh, right. I think Gary's going to kind of like try to straighten up and maybe adjust his eye patch from the rock injury.
Yeah.
I took out an eye?
Yeah, I think so.
Wow.
That's how I imagined it happening. And yeah, he's got that and the leg injury. But yeah, he's going to try to stand up as straight as he can and be like, oh of course. And Riggan, once the living pod's set up, we'll get those scans.
I can't do scans until Lucky has the mining equipment taking samples.
Before I send any probes out, though, can we talk about this asteroid? Have you ever seen rock like that before, Riggan? I mean, that's translucent, it's glowing, it's purple. I don't know. I mean, I've dug through all sorts of things. I'm a trained mining engineer, but I've never seen rock like that before.
Yeah, this is probably an igneous form of... And then he spouts off a bunch of geology terms, but it's clear that he's just kind of trying to cover for the fact that he also has no idea what it is.
Yeah. Lachlan just nods patiently and laughs at the end of it and walks off.
And maybe there's a bit of doubt in your mind, Riggan. By the way, you can do a scan if you want. You know, they've got handheld scanners that will do a quick scan if you want. But maybe there's just a bit of doubt in your mind, because as you're going through your list of sort of explaining what this rock is, you realise none of it is really making sense. And this is actually very hard for you. Like, you've been taught about a lot of rock, but this is odd.
Yeah. I will do a scan. What the hell?
Fantastic. And that's really great. So we can do some rolls. So this is how rolls work. You're going to roll one die. Well, you're going to get one die essentially for free, just for being an employee of Extractor. You're going to get one die if your specialism comes into play. Now, your specialism is geology and you're scanning rock. So yeah, you get two dice. And you can also add your changed die if you're going to push yourself to succeed. The only problem with doing that is that if your changed die rolls high, then at that point you will make a change roll.
I think I'll leave the changed die off for now. This doesn't seem that... Yeah.
Cool. So give me a roll.
All right. 3 and a 6.
3 and a 6. The way it works is that you would have succeeded with a 1, right? Really base level success. At a 4, you would have found out almost everything I've got to tell you. And a 5, I'd be sort of throwing additional facts at you. On a 6, you've kind of found out a bit too much. Maybe a bit more than what you wanted to know. And so what happens is that you look at this rock, and at first this looks really great. There's loads of minerals here. There's platinum, there's rhodium, all kinds of stuff that extracts could use. And then the more you look, you can see these chains of molecules. There's no particular reason rock molecules should be chained. It's almost like they're organic molecules, but I mean, rock can't be organic like that. And you look down into the scanner, they're writhing. They seem to be slightly multiplying. That must be your imagination. But there's something about this rock that looks as though it is rock, but it's in some sense alive.
Ugh.
And this would be a really good time to make a change draw.
Well, my change is 1 right now, so it'd be hard not to roll above it. And I did. I rolled a 3.
Cool. And so it ticks up to 2.
Great.
Amazing. And your change generally represents how much space has changed you. So it will go up and up, and when it goes to 6, then you're completely burnt out and your adventure's over.
I'm running a diagnostic on this scanner. I'm also just kind of hitting it with my hand to try to get it to start working correctly. And when the diagnostic comes back correctly, I start digging out other scanners from our equipment.
Everything okay there, Riggan?
Yeah, it's fine.
Okay, yeah. Be easy on the equipment. I don't know what you're doing there.
There's a lot we can use here. This is going to be a fruitful site.
He bashed that equipment really hard, Gary. Shouldn't be doing that.
I'm going to kind of walk over and grab him like, almost like a teacher would grab a kid by the arm, like kind of pinch the back of his arm a little bit. If you break this fucking equipment, Riggan, I'm not paying for it. This team's not paying for it. So just
I know how to use a scanner, okay?
Do the scans, yeah.
I know what the equipment, what its stress tolerances are, okay? I know my job.
I'm sure you do. I saw your marks, Riggan.
I know my job.
Okay. All right, I'll be watching really closely.
It's all fine.
Yeah.
It's fine.
Okay, all right.
I've got this.
All right. Shit. I want to take a look at the scanner that he bashed when I'm real close to him, just to make sure he didn't, knock the screen loose or anything like that. I'm really worried about the cost of the expedition here.
The scanner seems all right. There is a little bit of rock encrusted on the scanner, so maybe he dropped it or something.
Huh. I don't know, Riggan. If you can't handle this job, I think Lucky could probably do both of your jobs, so...
Permission to speak, sir?
Yes, of course.
We're here for a very long time. And I think that you and I need to maintain a strictly professional relationship. And I feel like we're just getting started and you're already getting sort of, combative with me. So I'd appreciate it if we confined our conversations to, strictly professional interaction. That's the only way we're going to last as long as we need to.
It's called command, Riggan. But I understand. I'll try to soften my tone. Sometimes I just get these... phantom pains in my eye socket, and it makes me a little more aggressive than maybe I'd like to be.
And you do. You've got one now as you're speaking, right? Yeah. Almost there's something's like getting this feeling like there's dust in your eye or something, and you've got that right now. You really, really want to scratch it.
Yeah, I think Riggan could probably even see like that half of my face starts twitching when I get that when I get that sensation. And I'm just going to kind of walk away when I realize that that's going a little more intensely than it usually does. We're good, Riggan. We'll deal with it later.
Yes, sir.
Just go easy. Go easy on the stuff, all right?
Yes, sir.
This is going to be a long year, Lucky.
Oh, tell me about it. I knew some of the stories about those two before we came out here, but... look on the bright side, Kate. We're not going to get bored. We got a floor show.
That's true. Hey, we could even have some fun with that, as I'm fiddling with the communications equipment, setting it up.
Oh, yeah. I'll tell you what, shall we start a bet now as to which one kills the other?
Oh, I'm on Riggan all the way.
I think you're going to have to give me better odds on Glitch.
What, you don't think our team leader's going to do it? The big man?
I think he's going to start the fight that gets him killed, if that counts.
You're on.
Because they're having this little conversation, Gary probably walks by them muttering about tier three fucking brats. Get over on me.
You're scanning the rock, you're setting up the living pod, you're setting up the comms equipment. What do you want to do?
I'm going to call in and check in with Extractor, as I'm supposed to, once the equipment's all set up, because that's the first thing I'm supposed to do before I go set up the medical bay.
This is the exchange, please report.
Medical Officer Cade, just checking in. We've gotten everything set up, start off, and ready to start the day.
Cade, we've been waiting for your call. How's things going down there?
I mean, we've only been here a few minutes, like half an hour maybe. It's fine.
You've been there a day, Cade.
What?
Cade, how's your first day on the site gone?
Well, we've gotten the pod set up and Lachlan is taking some samples and yeah.
This guy you're talking to is speaking quite faster. I mean, imagine like a tape speeded up. He's speaking quite fast. It's kind of hard to concentrate on his voice. And he goes,
okay, well, if you only just got the pod set up, your plan says you should have been further along by now, so I guess maybe hurry things up.
Could you slow down a little bit there, Exchange? You're really hard to hear.
I think I'm speaking fairly normally. Listen, I've got a note on the screen. You've been there 24 hours now. You really need to be producing some results. I'm going to sign off there. I've got other calls to take. Thanks very much, Officer Cade.
Thanks, Exchange. I'm just going to sit there scratching my head a little bit. Very confused, and I think I need a change roll for that, because we have not been here 24 hours. It's been like 30 minutes. Unless Reagan and Gary's little argument somehow sped time up along the course of things. That's a 5. So I go up to 2.
And Gary, Riggan, Lucky, if any of you want to overhear that conversation, you're very welcome.
I think Gary's always hovering when it looks like there's work going on, because the way he came to be the team leader is by not having any specialized skill.
That's how it happens in real life.
Yeah, he's good at posturing to management. That's about it. Yeah, I think the eye patch makes him look authoritative.
Gary, how long have we been here?
Oh, it's coming up on about an hour, I think.
Actually, Gary, just give me a quick roll. I'm going to roll against you to fail there. So,
okay.
And this sounds funny, but I'm just going to make you roll to say an hour. So I'm just rolling a failure die against you. I've got a 3. And so give me one die because you're a normal employee.
I have a 4.
Okay, you've got a 4. So yeah, there's something holding you back from saying an hour, right? Because just for a moment, you have a sense of it's been a long time. You even have a sense of like it's been decades or hundreds of years. You just kind of, it's like your mind goes into this timeless place. But then you say what you're going to say and you're just like, it's now.
Yeah, and I think Cade may have seen me kind of standing there slack-jawed for a moment, thinking and staring off into space, and then an hour, yeah, an hour.
Yeah, Cade is used to this and just kind of snaps their fingers.
Yeah, an hour, right?
Right. Exchange seems to think we've been down here for at least 24 hours.
Just 24?
What do you mean, just 24? You just said we've been here an hour.
Oh, no, I was thinking about something Riggan told me. Yeah, an hour, yeah. Exchange, you know, sometimes they get the wrong information, you know. Comms are always kind of go haywire when we have so much distance between us.
Maybe there's some kind of time dilation or something. You know, there's got to be some kind of lost time in transmissions, I don't know.
Yeah, I think so.
It's just weird.
Yeah.
All right.
Gary, this is totally impossible. There's no way that could happen.
Yeah, I don't know. That sounds like something Lucky would say. Are you okay, Cade?
I mean, it's a little weird, but I'm sure it's fine. Look, I've done my check-in. I'm going to go set up the med bay.
Yeah, do that. Do you think Riggan fucked with time when he was really rough with the scanner? Gosh, why did we bring him?
Excuse me.
How does messing with a scanner fuck with time, Gary?
Did you call for me?
Oh, sorry, Riggan. I'm just, I think I'm disoriented. I'm so used to all the noise, and it's so desolate out here.
I'm gonna talk to Cade. What did Exchange say?
That we've been here over 24 hours.
We have.
No, we haven't. But they think we have.
We've been here. Are you fucking with me?
We've been here an hour. Exchange think we've been here for 24.
Yeah, we have.
The fuck? What's wrong with you, Riggan? It's been an hour.
I told you.
There is a bit of confusion in your head, Regan, because on one hand, you know you've just come down on the shuttle, you've just done a scan. That obviously has not taken 24 hours. But in a sense, that kind of mental clock you have, you're going, yeah, been here a day.
I've been working on this for a day.
Look, Regan, I know you didn't get the best scores in maths, but
it's a low blow.
60 minutes equals 1 hour, not 24. Okay.
Yeah, you know, we should probably get some medical scans here, Cade, because it seems like we're maybe suffering from a little bit of disorientation.
Okay, you got it.
That's actually a good idea.
Come on, come to the med bay. I'll do some scans before I set things up.
Let's set up the living pod where you can definitely do some medical scans. So, I mean, what do you guys want to do? There is the living pod set up. You can explore. You can scan things. You can go and explore the asteroid. You can do what you want, really.
Yeah, I mean, I think at this stage, Lachlan's gone out to basically set up some probes. Mm. I'm picturing these as sort of like semi-automated things where I can just give them directions to go out to various points on the asteroid and start doing deep scans from there. But it does involve actually going outside the pod and getting them all moving and set up. And so he's out there in a pressure suit at the moment. He's got his comms switched off at the moment and instead is listening to some music that probably doesn't actually sound that different from mining equipment going, but, you know, it's loud and it blocks out the quieter space.
That's amazing. So you're sending out these little... What are they? Little kind of wheeled things that you...
Yes, yeah, with kind of tracks on them.
Yeah. So you set them down and they go off to various corners of the asteroid. You will get an error message from one of them, as though it's fallen into a crevasse or something like that.
Normally it takes a bit longer to lose one. I suppose I should probably go out and check on it. They're expensive when we don't have that many of them. Oh, I don't want to be doing this early. But... All right, I'll switch off the music for a moment, switch the comms back on, and just say to Cade, just so you know, I'm heading out to check on a lost probe. I'm sure everything's okay, but you know what it's like when one of these probes goes missing. It's normally because something bad's happened to it. And I'm going to try to rescue it. If Gary starts talking about spreadsheets, just tell him that I'm trying to save the company's money. But, you know, if you don't hear from me again, I'll send you the coordinates where you should look for my body.
I love the pessimism, Lucky. Just make sure you check in regularly and I'll do a scan when you get back.
Yeah. Have you done any checks on what the environment is doing to us here yet? Are there any precautions I should be taking in terms of radiation or anything else?
Working on that at the moment. I don't think we need to worry about radiation. I did a review of the stuff Exchange gave us before we came down here, so just keep your helmet on. Don't go falling down into any holes.
Oh, yeah. All right, all the complex stuff, right. Yeah. If you do work out anything that I should know, send it through on Priority Channel 1, please. I've got everything else blocked out because, well, Gary. But, I'll keep your channel open.
And keep an eye on the time while you're out there, Lucky.
If you say.
I do. Just...
All right.
No reason, just keep an eye on it. And check in regularly, please. Otherwise, Gary will be asking every 3 minutes where you are.
Oh, yeah. It's always something, isn't it? It's always something.
I'll let you know if you...
Hey, Cade, have you heard from Lucky?
I'll let you know if you win the bet while you're out there. Gary, he's gone after a probe. He'll be back soon.
Gone after a probe? What happened?
It went off the scanner. He can't see it on tracking, so he's going to go retrieve it manually.
Shit. Yes, we've been here however long we've been here, and we're losing equipment left and right, and it's all right. I trust Lucky. I think that, he'll find it. He'll find it. It's okay. I can't get through to him on my comms, though. Could you check my comms, Cade?
Yeah, let me do the medical scans first, Gary.
Okay. That's good.
But I think you're inside the living pod, are you now? Is that where you're...
Mm-hmm.
So it's set up and, you know, it has all your different areas. So you have a medical bay, you have a geology bay. you're in the bay. You should, you know, you should sleep now. I mean, you're starting, well, not now, but you're starting to get tired. You should also let your equipment recharge and let the oxygen levels in your suits recharge. What do you guys want to do?
I want to do some scans first on Regan, Gary, and myself, and just see if there's something wrong or weird before I put my equipment into recharge.
Sure. Who do you want to start with?
Start with Gary, just yeah. Because he gets insistent if he doesn't go first.
Yeah, cool. Give me a roll.
Okay. Both my human and my profession, yeah?
Yeah.
Okay, double fours.
Okay, there's something in his eye.
Did you get something in your eye, Gary? Did you take your helmet off while we were outside?
Is this some kind of fucking joke, Cade? This eye.
Yes, the functional one.
Actually, no, it's under the eye patch.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh. No, there's something... I don't know what it is, but there's something... Move that eye patch. I need to see, shine a light and see what's there.
Are you sure? It's been a while since you've seen it.
I've seen so much shit, Gary.
I know.
I've seen things you wouldn't believe.
That fucking rock, though. It was...
It'll be fine.
That was some rock. Okay, I'll do it.
It was also 25 years ago, Gary.
Yeah, all right. He'll reluctantly kind of lift the eye patch for Cade to take a look, making sure that his back's to Regan.
What's under there, Cuppy?
It basically just looks like skin's been fused together, but it also has kind of growths on it. It's jarring to look at if you've never seen it before.
Yeah, definitely. So it's a scarred over eye, and it's not particularly horrific by itself or anything. It's just it's grown over. Cade, there's just a little line of glowing violet along one of the scars on his eye.
Maybe some of the rock dust or something in one of your scars there, Gary. It's kind of glowing a little bit. Same color as the rocks.
Oh, can you get it off? It's been irritating me all day. I think maybe it's
You can feel it?
Yeah, it's just like...
You shouldn't be able to feel it.
Thought I got dust in there or something.
Well, it looks like you did.
Just wipe it off.
I'll get a
please
wet cloth and try and wash it off.
It's a bit crusted on for some reason.
Yeah, it's almost like it's stuck.
Jake.
Doing arts and crafts projects with your eye socket there, Gary?
Come on, Cade.
Bedazzling your eye socket?
Can't you use like a scalpel or something? Just get it out of there. I got I don't have much feeling anyway, so just get it off me. It's really bothering me.
Look at my scalpel.
Shit.
You really want me to cut it out?
Yeah, I mean, you could try something that's not as sharp first. Maybe just try to brush it off, and then...
It's pretty stuck on there, Gary.
Just cut a little bit. See if it comes off easy.
I think we have to have a roll to cut the rock off cleanly. I'm going to roll this is a failure die, which I'm mm-hmm. rolling against you. So if I get higher than you, then...
You probably will, because I got twos.
Okay, so you've got twos. I've got a five. Now, we haven't really talked about this so far, because you've all been rolling pretty well. But you can re-roll any roll, provided your change die is part of the roll. So if you want to re-roll, you're welcome.
This is Ain't Slave Nobody. Of course I'm going to push the roll. Nope. A three and two twos.
Oh, no.
Cool. And was the three your change die, or was it?
No, the three was my profession.
Okay, cool. And you can re-roll again if you like, as you like.
Might as well. Oh, there we go. That's a six and two fours.
That's really lovely. So, Cade, right. You're fine. You chop it off absolutely fine. And Gary, she actually does a really good job, right?
Yeah.
And as you're doing it, Cade, let's just have you slice your thumb just a little, just where the rock's touching it. You can almost feel the rock. You can't feel it creeping inside. That must be your imagination, right?
It's fine.
Yeah.
It's fine.
You take your hand away and there's just a tiny little bit of rock clinging to the wound.
Can you try and scrape it off?
It's not coming off now, but it's nothing to worry.
I'm sure it's fine. It's just dust.
Yeah.
So I will roll my change die. That's another six.
Oh, no.
Amazing. So it would just tick up by one. And Gary, since you were having something physical done to you, let's have a change roll from you as well.
Good idea.
Yeah.
And I've rolled a five.
Okay. So your change score, well, was it one before?
Yeah, I'll be a two.
Tick up to two. Yeah.
You did good with that, Cade. I think, did you get all of it, though? I still feel something.
It's a phantom feeling. It'll be fine. Just,
okay.
You know how when you lost the eye originally, you still felt like it was there for a while? That's what it'll be for a bit. Just calm down.
Yeah.
Just looking at my finger while I'm talking to him.
Maybe we just need rest. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you.
Mm-hmm.
That wasn't too painful.
I try my best. Anything for the team leader. Only the best for you, Gary.
Well, thank you.
Brigand, what are you up to?
I really want a medical scan. I actually really just want to talk to Cade.
Cool. Okay, so there's Cade. And so, yeah, Gary, you will go off to do your important team leader things.
Yeah, I'm going to rest.
So you'll come in and Cade will be... I don't know. What's going on, Cade?
I'm just sort of looking at my finger where the bit of rock went.
Cade?
Hmm? What?
My scan.
Oh, right. Sorry, I was waiting for Gary to go. You know how he gets.
Yeah, sure.
All right.
Yeah, well, don't tell him what I found out.
What did you find out?
Well, I'm a little worried about this time thing because, when I do the scans, there's some sort of organic matter in the rock. And I'm worried about, I mean, what if there's a virus or something trapped down in this stuff, you know? I don't want to get space chicken pox, you know? I can't do it. I don't want it.
I look at the cut on my finger. Organic matter, you say? Riggin?
Yeah, it's threaded in with all the mineral matter. It's, I've scanned on, I've used several different scanners. They're all coming back reading sort of these organic clusters of molecules.
Oh, so I should probably get rid of this then, holding up my finger to show where the rock is.
What, don't touch me with it.
I'm not.
Fuck.
Can I cut my finger off?
You can, yeah.
What are you doing?
It's got
Kate, what are you doing? I'm going to try to stop them.
All right, let's do a roll for this, Kate. So, give me a competitive roll, mm-hmm. right? So, so Riggan, give me one die, and you're welcome to add your change die for that if you want. Cade, give me one die. You can add your change die if you want. Tell me what your highest die is.
Can I add my medical as well, because I'm a doctor doing this?
Your medical officer die for cutting your own finger off.
Yeah, it's a medical procedure.
Yeah, I think you've successfully argued for that die. That's great.
Are we rolling? I'm adding my change die. All right. 2 fives.
I also got 2 fives and a 4.
All right. So at the moment, you're kind of tied, right? And mm-hmm. so unless one of you wants to re-roll, we're going to leave that as sort of a tie. Okay.
Well, hell, I'll re-roll 2 then.
2 fives and a 3.
Okay.
6 on my change die and a 5.
Oh my god.
Ooh.
Ah, oh, that's really nice. What can we do with that? So, so Riggan, you're going to succeed. Let's have you zone out a bit, right? You will grab the knife, and it's like you're concentrating very intensely. You're kind of in slow motion, and as you grab the knife, you will get the sense of the time swirling around you. So. You know, days lengthen to years, lengthen to... It takes you back to the geology lectures you had. And you had lectures about geologic time. And suddenly, as you're so close to this rock, you experience it for the first time. You suddenly get this glimpse of what tens of thousands, millions of years feels like. Can we do that?
Yeah.
And then we'll have you back in the room with Cade.
Are they reaching for any other sharp implements or anything like that?
No, I think I'm just sort of staring in confusion, like trying to figure out, what was I just doing? What? What's happening? Regan, something's wrong here.
You can't hurt yourself like that.
Why are
we
speaking
need
in slow
you
motion? I'm scanning him for concussion now.
The medical.
And Riggan, can we actually leave you trying to force out the words, trying to speak fast, but you can't force them out. And Cage, you can almost, they're almost coming out in this kind of murmur, this like long breath. And this doesn't last forever. After a while, you scan him and, you know, and it does look as though his entire body has slowed down. His heart rate is very slow. His metabolism's very slow. And then he will start coming up to speed again. Just going to remind you about change dies. Anytime you want to make change rolls, anytime any of this feels weird, please do feel free.
I think it's time for a change roll.
Oh, definitely time for a change roll. 6. 6. So I'm up to 4 now.
Ooh.
I rolled a 1.
Oh, nice.
Should we go back to Lucky? We haven't seen much of Lucky for a while. So,
sure. I assumed he was dead.
So, Lucky, you're walking out on this asteroid. I mean, probably further than you feel comfortable with, right? Because, you know, oxygen levels in your suit. You've had a day of being outside anyway. I mean, as long as you go and get the thing and go straight back, you'll be fine.
But I really don't like this. This involves going out here on my own, away from the protection of the shelter.
Yeah.
But more than that, this is a strange asteroid. I know it's supposed to be lifeless, but you know, I'm heading out here to somewhere I haven't been before, and nothing about this is making me happy. Nothing.
There your probe is. It's this little wheeled thing, and it's stuck in a crevasse.
Oh, all right. That was less weird than I was fearing, given the readings we've had from this planet, but this asteroid, rather. But I suppose I'll see whether I can get it out. Is it too deep for me to reach manually?
It's going to be a bit of a stretch, so it's fallen down quite a way, but you can probably grab it.
I'm going to need all the probes I can get at this stage. This is the point of the project where we need the probes. I need to get the probe out, so I'm going to have to do this. Oh, I don't want to do this, but I'm going to do it.
Just a little beep in your ear. This is like the early warning that, you know, you need to start heading back because your oxygen's getting low, but you're fine for a while.
It's going to be all right. It's going to be all right. It's going to be all right. So, then, yeah, I shall clamber down as carefully as I can to rescue the probe, muttering to myself the whole way down that I'm going to have to update its firmware because its collision detection system and its hazard warning system and so on should have told it about the crevasse. It shouldn't have driven in here. You know, this is clearly a bug. I'm going to have to troubleshoot it all and stupid bloody machines and more trouble than they're worth. And yeah, anyway.
So if you're climbing down it, being quite a big crevasse, right? Mm. And it's kind of glowing beneath.
I wish it wouldn't do that.
Should we have a roll for you to just climb down safely?
Sure. I think this is important enough that I am going to bring my change die into it as well.
That's great. I think this is important enough I'm going to bring a failure die into it.
Yes.
So the last die I roll will be my change die, which has come up high.
Yeah.
So I've got a 4.
I have a 4 as well, so give me a change roll if your change die came up high.
Okay, yep, my change has gone up to 2.
So as things stand, we're on a tie, to which the obvious answer is you've gone in but you can't get out.
Yeah, I've managed to make it to the probe. And, well, I think I've worked out that I can get out again. I just can't get out again with the probe, that it's the way up is too steep, that it's awkward to try to get this little thing up with me.
Also, the probe is stuck. It's stuck in a crack in the rock. There's no way it could get in there, so it's fallen in, and it's as though the rock has literally, aggressively started to squeeze it.
Okay.
The probe is deformed now. The track, it's really quite wedged in there.
Okay, I'm going to make a change roll for that.
In fact, it looks as though it's still squeezing.
Okay, well, I have not failed that roll, so my change is still 2.
Yeah.
But I think at this point, yeah, I'm just going to try my damnedest to get this thing out before it's destroyed. So this is going to be a re-roll, effectively. And I am, well, I assume I've got some tools with me. So I'm digging at the rock to try to get this out. But obviously doing so while on the edge of this crevasse and doing so with some degree of urgency and speed and perhaps not quite as much caution as I might otherwise use. Between the growth of the rock and my oxygen monitor beeping, this doesn't seem like a time for excessive caution.
2 beeps now. Your oxygen's gone. Yeah, you should really start heading back now. But you'll be fine.
Scott's gonna die in a hole in session 1.
I love this.
I'm quite looking forward to this. I don't usually kill people in the first bit.